You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Economists care about feelings a little bit. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Every month, the University of Michigan asks consumers how they are feeling about the economy, their personal finances, about inflation. We'll get the results so far for January a little later this morning. Eric Gordon, professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business, is here to talk about feelings and more. Good morning.
Good morning.
So last month, we saw this big turnaround in how consumers felt about the economy. And since then, we have seen the declines in inflation actually slow down a bit. What is the most important thing that drives how we consumers feel?
The most important thing is our sense of how we're doing relative to inflation. So are our incomes going up faster than inflation is going up? Even in that good news December reading that you talked about, only 55% of people said that they expect their incomes to rise at least as fast as prices. Just barely over half think that they're going to keep up with inflation.
Are we good at predicting inflation?
We are bad at predicting inflation, and we're even bad at measuring the inflation we are already experiencing. When you look at the government's CPI numbers, you see one thing. When you look at consumer sentiment numbers, we think inflation is terrible.
I just wonder if how consumers feel about the economy or how we say we feel about the economy actually translate to what we do and what we spend and how we behave.
We've known for a long time that the link between how we report we feel and then what we actually do about it is pretty tenuous. There's some link, but don't count on it. You know, we're about as rational as rabbits.
The Ross School at the University of Michigan and the FT Financial Times are conducting monthly polls. What are you guys learning about the American consumer?
When you ask them, what is your number one concern going forward? It's the economy. And when you unpack that, it's inflation. They're not worried about losing their jobs, but they're worried about keeping up their standard of living.
Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Sabri.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
The World Economic Forum is wrapping up in Davos, Switzerland today. This is the annual meetup of politicians, business leaders, economists. It's exclusive and it is costly, but what exactly does it do? Joining us from Davos to talk about that is Patrick Fowles. He's the foreign editor at The Economist magazine. Good morning.
Hi, Sabri.
So last year you were on the program. You spoke with David Brancaccio about the 2023 Davos conference, and the hot topics then were global inflation, climate change, globalization. What are the hot topics this year?
One thing's changed a lot from last year, which is the talk of recession has receded. So inflation's coming down globally. Many people think the Federal Reserve will be cutting interest rates over the next year or so. Another thing that's changed is the technological obsession at Davos is different. So everyone now is talking about AI. And in the previous years, there's been big data, the metaverse, crypto. So almost every year there's a new fad. But, you know, overhanging all of that is the sense of the world order changing, the tensions between America and China, the rise of more powerful middle power type countries around the world, and the sense that the old world in which America was the preeminent power is passing now into something more complicated.
This happens every year. People with big titles talk about big ideas, goals, challenges. I just wonder, if we look back, what are some actual policies or solutions or consensuses that have actually come out of Davos and made some kind of important change in the world?
Really, the thing going on here behind the scenes is thousands and thousands of bilateral meetings between different companies, different political leaders and companies. And that's really what the main use of Davos is. And what's the outcome of that? Well, the honest answer is thousands of decisions that aren't necessarily that connected. I think what you can do is take a step back and try and draw out some common themes. But I think it's a mistake to see Davos as having a sort of collective purpose and mission. It's not really how it works.
Well, with that in mind, what are your big takeaways?
I mean, I would say there's sort of two or three things. First is that companies are beginning to adapt to this unruly new world order. And when you talk to businesses, whether they're in semiconductors, energy, finance, they're all doing deals that reflect this new situation. So, for example, big semiconductor companies building new factories in America or in Europe, something they would never have done 10 years ago. The other thing that's going on, I think, is the diplomacy is just much more difficult. And there's a real sense that all these crises now popping up are very, very problematic to solve. That's true in their own right. But the third thing, and it's really hanging over everything here in a way, is the prospect of a Trump victory. Already many, many decisions are beginning to be made that weigh the possibility. And you can see that most obviously with Ukraine, where there's a real feeling that if Trump won, Ukraine might be abandoned by America. From our meetings at The Economist with world leaders who we've met and companies, there's a lot of Plan B scenarios going on where people try and work out what a Trump presidency would mean, not just for America, but for the world economy.
Patrick Fowles is The Economist's foreign editor. He's currently in Davos, Switzerland for the World Economic Forum's annual meeting. Patrick, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for having me.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.